Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now, Nora Owen has just walked in and sat down and is here with me in the studio. Hello, Nora.
Hello, Claire. I'm delighted to be with you.
Lovely to have you with us. And we wanted to bring you in because you've just turned 80 and you don't mind us telling people
No, not at all. I think when you reach the 80, you're quite proud of it. and you don't mind people. You know, if you were kind of 67 or something, you mightn't want somebody to know. But 80 is kind of a moment in your life where people like to hear it. And it gives other people a bit of confidence if they're feeling a little bit down.
And it's different now, isn't it?
It is. Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, I've been very lucky. I've enjoyed good health. And, you know, for a long time then I was minding Brian, but I'm enjoying good health and that allows me to continue doing things that I like to do.
Well, it's great to hear that you are and you're looking fine, Fettel. So 80 isn't a bother to you is what you're telling
us. No, it isn't. I mean, look, let's be frank. Anybody who's 80 or coming up to that, they know there's bits of the body that they didn't pay any attention to. And suddenly, why is my shoulder giving me that little ache? Or why is my left foot suddenly aching? But that's natural, ordinary natural kind of wear and tear. I mean, if you had a car that was 80 years old, it wouldn't be running very well. Everything wouldn't be running right.
Listen, you're keeping a close eye, I know, on politics because you always do.
That's your thing, you love it.
And the presidential campaign now, that isn't because there's nobody.
It's worrying that there's nobody emerging,
but
really.
But there's a lot of talk about it. There's a lot of names in the hat. Mary Hanafin now coming
that,
out yesterday. Joe Duffy might be in there. What do you think's going to happen? What should happen?
Like any election, I think, I mean, it's a tough election and I went through it with my sister Mary Benotti. She had a tough campaign, but not the worst in that time. Poor old Lady Roach got a terrible time during that. And there was, but everything you've done in your life as a candidate for president can be resurrected and dug out. And it might be like with Mary, there were reports in the European Parliament, you know, that might have three lines in it about abortion. And suddenly somebody has researched it and they suddenly say, oh, she was in favour of this, that and the other 10 years ago. So that's why the campaign becomes very rough. So anybody who wants to go now, you'd nearly need to have been a hermit or a nun or something. Well, I don't know, maybe nuns have things to hide too.
No unpaid parking tickets.
No,
as I read
unpaid
in the paper
parking
this
tickets, everything. Mm. Now, I mean, Fianna Fáil will probably have a candidate. And I heard Peter Power's name emerging as well. And I have great admiration for Peter, what he's been doing with UNICEF. But you just don't know who's going to emerge. And people kind of say, oh, why does it have to be a politician? I think because politicians know what elections are about and what they can look at, you know. I mean, Mairead McGuinness has experience, Sean Kelly has experience, now Mary Hanafin, Peter Power. But I'm surprised that somebody in the kind of 50s and age group, you know, maybe a sports person or a poet.
Have you anyone in your mind?
No, I mean, we were talking about this recently at a gathering for my 80th, you know, and we were wondering, was there any sports person there that might emerge, you know, Brian O'Driscoll or somebody? But you see, somebody like that has a whole life ahead of them. They're not going to go up to the park for 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, they might. You never know.
And in case the next question is, am I running? No.
Were you asked at all?
Oh, listen, when I hear all the people saying, oh, I was asked. Yes, I have been asked. Haven't been asked officially by the party or anything. But yes, I mean, once people know you and you've been around, they would say, you go, Nora, you'd be great. And then somebody else said, gosh, we'd love to come up and visit you in the park. You know?
But it wouldn't appeal to you is what you're saying.
No, no. And also at 80, I think it needs to be somebody younger than 80 just starting off. It's a 7 year. We talked about bringing it down to 5 and that hasn't happened. And, you know, there may be some merit in bringing it down to 5 years. So if somebody does 2 terms, it's 10 years. 14 years is a long time.
But it's not the job that's turning people off. As you said, it's
the campaign. Yes. I mean, there's lots of people who could handle the job. And of course, I'm a huge fan of Michael D, having worked closely with him in the Dáil on the Development Aid Committee way back in the early 80s when very few people had a lot of interest in that subject. Michael D and myself and indeed the late Neil Andrews, we were the three kind of known names when a debate was coming up.
Well, it's interesting that you say now that Fianna Fáil, you think, will put a name into the ring.
Yes.
Because, you know, prior to this, we weren't sure. And Sinn Féin say that they're going to go through their process as well. Do you think politically that it's really important for the parties to put somebody
It's not essential. I mean, we all stood back when Michael Dee was going the second time, and we stood back, well, Fianna Fáil stood back, obviously, when Mary McAleese was going for the second time. I don't really think it'd be damaging to them. You know, I've heard some conversation, oh, it's a big party and they should be fighting
every
election.
Yeah, Mary Hanafin was saying that yesterday.
Yeah,
I
didn't quite agree with her on that because, you know, it's a very important job. It's a very ceremonial job, but it's still an important job. And there's weekly, monthly meetings with the Taoiseach. So therefore, policy decisions would get discussed and president's ideas would be probably taken on board or listened to by the government. So it's not as quiet as people think it is. And of course, Michael Dee has helped to add to it. And with the start with Mary Robinson, for years, remember, Claire, you're too young to remember, like, the president wasn't really a figure in our lives. Mm-hmm. They opened scout dens and they opened parks.
We didn't hear from them really until Mary Robinson.
We didn't really hear from them for a long time. De Valera's name was known, but I mean, if you asked anybody what did De Valera do as president, they probably should say he just got old. And so I think that, I don't think it's absolutely essential. I mean, if Fianna Fáil decided they didn't have a candidate, it's an expensive campaign. I was involved in the campaign
with
Osta Curry.
Is the estimate now.
Well, I have a feeling way back that Fine Gael spent more than $500,000 on one campaign because I was involved in it when Austin Curry was standing and not so much when Gay Mitchell stood.
And the coffers are empty after the coffers are empty after
well, local general European elections, and the draws are only starting again now to raise the money.
Listen, you mentioned Mary
yes,
Bonatti, who you sadly lost.
Yes, sadly died
last
May.
Year.
Yes.
We did read, though, that she left letters from your granduncle, Michael Collins, to the Cork Public Museum, which was a lovely thing to do.
Yes,
they will
be
there for people.
Peter Barry very kindly gave Mary a present of some of the letters. So in Mary's will, she said she wanted those letters to be rejoined with the full bulk of letters that Peter Barry had bought when they were auctioned. And so they're gone back down to the museum in Cork.
But it's become a thing now where we hear in detail a lot about people's wills.
Yeah, I mean, we were all very shocked to see the detail of it. I mean, I don't mind. I think it was an interesting thing that she had some of the letters between Michael Collins and Kitty Kiernan, and they were going back to the museum. But I mean, normally you just see the probate, they just say so-and-so left this much, and then it would say part of this was their house or something. But in this instance, for some reason, every detail, right down to bequests, little bequests to her grandnieces and grandnephews, I think that's a bit intrusive, but it seems to be newer thing now, and I've seen other wills being exposed to that detail.
Yeah, and there was one yesterday as well that I read about, but under Irish law, because we checked this from the court service, wills become public once a grant of representation has been issued. So anyone can request copies of the grant and the will.
Yes, they
can. And it can become public at that point.
Yeah.
Are you saying that maybe that should be looked at?
Well, I just think one of our worries was that Mary had, like a lot of people, done some alterations to her will. And our worry was, did the right one get printed, and were there people mentioned who might not have been in the rewritten will? And that would be very embarrassing. Like, as it happens, it was okay. But that could happen. Mm-hmm. And look, do we really want to know, or should you know, that Grand Auntie Mary got such and so, got €1,000, or somebody got a glass vase or a picture or a painting? We will have to be careful not to be too intrusive, you know, and with GDPR and everything now, I think, you see, you could have somebody maybe looking at that and saying, oh, there's a bit of money gone into that house. It might just encourage somebody to come along. Having my justice hat goes back on me and makes me worry that if somebody knew somebody had inherited a fairly good sum of money and it was in the papers, it might just lead somebody to think, well, that'll be worth burglaring.
But a legislative change then is what might
be
what you're thinking.
But Claire, I don't remember that those kind of, even though it was legal, I don't remember that kind of detail being given out before in a lot of wills. You might see one thing in it if it was a big fancy house that everybody knew about, but right down to sort of
the small things,
I think they should desist on those.
You and I have spoken many times about dementia care and care for people in nursing homes, and you mentioned Brian there, and it was as a result of what Brian and yourself went through that we had those conversations. Now, I'm sure you saw the RTÉ Investigates programme.
I was heartbroken by it. Yeah,
it was a very difficult watch, wasn't it?
Very difficult watch, because when somebody has severe dementia like that, the people dealing with them have to understand that they do not understand. If you say, now, come on, John, move along fast, that mightn't mean anything to John at that stage. Mm-hmm. And also the whole bathroom and shower stuff becomes a very big issue. And I want to thank you, Claire, because you were very good at giving me a voice at that time, because I just felt we weren't talking about dementia. Mm-hmm. And the 65,000 or 70,000 people diagnosed, but also the 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 people who are part of the whole care minding service that's being provided. Because in every one household, if there's somebody with dementia, there's 3, 4, and 5 people sharing the caring. And we must be ready for that. Now, in fairness, the government has put more money into the Alzheimer's Society and into services, but there's still a long way to go. And I worry about the training in nursing homes, because if somebody's going into a nursing home and they're going into a dementia centre in the nursing home, they need to be very well tuned in to the needs of dementia. And I say to people who are minding their dementia loved one, if you're going to the nursing home and it's a big decision, please talk to the staff and explain what are the things that cause problems. Like, I'd say it again, my Brian wouldn't get into the shower. Dementia don't like the water falling on their head. So I used the programmes to say that, and people would stop me and said, oh, I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, my man won't get into the shower and I can't get him washed. And so I would say to them in the nursing home, now, don't start the shower on his head, start lower down. And that
See,
sort of thing.
They're the little things.
They're the little things. And explain what they like to do. And Brian loved his biscuits and cakes. So I said, never give him a cup of tea unless there's a biscuit beside it. Otherwise, he'll wonder where it is.
And was all that in his care plan then? All those
little nuggets from you?
Yes,
well, the nursing home he was in was wonderful, and they looked after him so well. And I made sure, and we visited. The other thing I would say to people, if somebody's gone into a nursing home, you know, try and visit as much, or get neighbours, you know, say to somebody, would you go up just once a month? You know, don't expect somebody who's a neighbour to go up every week. But if you're living away from the nursing home, try and get somebody who pops in. It's good for the staff to see the relatives or friends, and it's good for the person. Mm-hmm. Like Brian, sometimes his eyes would light up because he'd know me. And then other times he'd be talking to the staff, or he'd be watching a John Wayne movie in the room, and he'd kind of look at me and then look back at the movie, and I'd just sit down beside him and chat to some of the other people until he kind of came back in. There's a moment with the dementia, or several moments, where you kind of move into almost a different world. Mm-hmm. And you can see it. Once
you can see it happening.
You can see it happening. The eyes kind of don't focus so well. Mm-hmm. And it's a tough one, because you don't... If you walked out the street now, you wouldn't be able to say to me, that person has dementia, but they might.
Of course.
And I've got used to it now. I can see the little signs, and I say to people, if you're in the shopping centre, use the disabled toilets, because then you're sure. I often tell the story, I put Brian into the bathroom in the pavilions and Swords, and he wasn't coming out, and I had to ask a young man. I said, there's a man in there with white hair and a red jacket, would you just see that he isn't standing around? And he was, and the young man said, he knew me, he said, oh, I was in school with your children. And after that, I just used to go into the disabled toilet with Brian, so I knew
to try
he
and
was
make
safe,
it a little bit
make
easier,
it easier
for yourself
and, it was safe
and
for me.
The person.
I knew then that he had did what he needed mm-hmm. to do, and that he would come out. So I just say to people, don't be afraid. It shouldn't be a stigma. If you're having trouble in a shop or anywhere and somebody is saying, what do you want? And all, just say, excuse me, could you just slow down, please? He's not quite understanding. Early on, I used to say Brian was a bit deaf, which he was a bit. And then as I got used to the idea, I would then say, look, he won't fully follow you. He's got dementia. So just slow down and ask him the question again.
Mm-hmm. And to be comfortable with
it. To be comfortable with it. Yeah. And to be comfortable
and
with it.
And everybody will probably take their own time to get to that point.
They
you
will.
Say,
they will.
It can be hard to accept that.
It
yourself.
Can. And I did something that I would recommend to people. I took my sons in to see Brian's specialist, his geriatrician. So they had a private meeting with him so he could explain to them what was coming and what was ahead, and probably also say to them, keep an eye on your mother.
Yeah.
Make sure she doesn't get worn out.
Well, that's important,
you know,
isn't it? Because you keep everybody briefed.
You do
in
indeed,
family.
Yes. Yeah.
So listen, before we finish up, do you have advice for people on turning 80?
Mind yourself. Try and keep doing things.
Which you are.
You
which
know,
is great.
Keep, you know, if you're in, I play a bit of bridge. If you're interested in bridge, keep going. if it's difficult to get to places, well, just decide that either somebody will pick you up and bring you, or I use taxis quite a bit now. I've told my sons that some of their inheritance are going on taxis. Just kind of keep yourself interested. Try and listen to your programme and other programmes just so your mind doesn't become kind of static. And I mean, that was one of the problems in COVID. You had to be careful. And I think the after effects of COVID for some people who are reaching that age then have been difficult because mm-hmm. they didn't have the freedom to walk over to the shop, just talk to the shopkeeper for 5 minutes.
And you lose that skill then.
And you lose the skill. So I just say, keep smiling, keep in touch with as many friends. If you're not good on the phone app, learn how to do texts if you haven't got the mastery of that, because the texts are great because they'll ping back into you and it'll just give you a lift. And of course, I'm very involved still with the Forget Me Nots Choir.
Lovely.
So
I'm
go
delighted
there every
to hear
Tuesday
it.
And we have great
group.
Fun. They're a great group.
Where we say hello to the Forget Me Nots.
Hello
because
to the Forget
Me
Nots. And thank you. They've been on your programme.
They've
been on
group. Others.
And they're all coming to the choir. I mean, over 150 of them are members. About 60 or 70 come every Tuesday to Balldoyle.
Every community should have a Forget
they should
Me
have
Nots
a Forget
in
Me
my
Nots
view.
Choir.
Nora, it's lovely to see you.
Thank you
thank
very
you
much
for coming
indeed,
in.
Claire. And thank you to all who've sent me lovely messages.
Grateful. And many more healthy and happy years to you. Right, we'll take a break. Back after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.